This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, if you hang around, we're going to talk about high-tech gifts for the holidays, a buying guide for the most discerning of gadgeteers. But first, our annual Best Science Books of the Year, our annual holiday buying guide this year, of course, for 2003. And this year's crop of science books ranged in subject from quantum computers to the history of fruit, with at least one notable introduction from a distinctly non-scientific author, Bill Bryson. But how do you separate the must-reads from the ho-hums? Well, after all, science books rarely top the bestseller list or enjoy the same notoriety as thrillers and mystery novels. So this hour, we're going to kick things off by reviewing the best of the bunch and learn what it takes to translate hard science into entertaining prose. If you've got a suggestion for a book this year that you got to read, we got to read, as they say, give us a call. Our number, 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Let me introduce my guest today. Josie Glausius is the reviews editor at Discover Magazine here in New York, and their January issue of the magazine contains a rundown of the top 20 science books of the year. She joins us here in our New York studios. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi.
How do you at all winnow down a list of 20 books?
Well, first you assemble a very, very large stack of books in your office.
And you block the door.
Yes, and you climb all over it and start throwing things aside. Basically, we sort of assembled this list of top 20 books by a committee of people at Discover, and we were looking for four things, essentially. The first thing was originality of topic. On our list of 20 books, we have a book called Extraordinary Pigeons. We have a wonderful book called...
Big New York popular book.
Well, you'll never look at pigeons the same way once you read this book.
Okay.
We have a wonderful book by Mary Roach, Stiff, The Curious Lives of Human Cadavers. We have a book called Solitary Sex, A Cultural History of Masturbation, and a book called How to Keep Dinosaurs.
Very eclectic.
Yes.
Very eclectic. And I think the cadaver book, there's so many of these TV shows now on about forensic science.
Yeah.
That the cadaver one must be very popular. But I'm going to tell you, the one that struck me as a top 20 that I thought was, I'll let you describe it. Yeah. Bill Bryson's A Short History of Everything. Now, he writes travel books, doesn't he?
Yes. And he wrote one of my favorite books about my home country, Notes from a Small Island. As he describes in the book, he was flying on a plane one day and he looked down at the earth and he realized he knew nothing about it. He didn't know where it came from, how much it weighed, what atoms were made of. And he decided he was going to go on a 3-year quest to find out almost everything he could about everything.
Everything?
Yes, or nearly everything. He traveled around the world, he talked to what seems to me like hundreds of experts, and in 500 pages manages, in my opinion, quite successfully to, very successfully and very wittily, to explain practically everything in the universe, and does so with great wit and...
So he took a writer's feeling, a traveler writer's feeling, travel writer's feeling, and turned it into a science.
Well, yes, but he does something which is sort of the essence of science writing, which is to take very, very complicated subjects and turn them into language that anyone can understand. Mm. And
what about this book, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime?
Well, this is a book I loved.
How do they come up with these titles?
I thought it was quite interesting that two of the books we chose have the word curious in the title. This is a book which I came across almost by accident. I was reading the British Medical Journal, and there was a review of it. It's a novel, and it's written entirely in the voice of an autistic boy. And the author, who's worked with autistic children, seems to me to really get inside the mind of this boy. It's sort of a murder mystery, well, the murder being a dog that's murdered. And it's related in very, very plain language, but... it manages to be both very moving, very funny, but it just, basically, it really spoke to me.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. If somebody would like to make a suggestion, let's see if we can get an early phone call in here. Let's go to Lockport, New York. Ryan in Lockport. Hi, Ryan. You're on Science Friday. Go ahead. Ryan, are you there? I guess Ryan's not here. We're missing Ryan on the telephone, I guess. Let's see. Is this Richard?
Yeah.
In Los Gatos. Go ahead.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for having me on.
Yes.
I have a suggestion for a book which I thought is really terrific. It's a little difficult reading, and it's not a book that was published this year. It's probably about 3-4 years old. But since you did mention quantum computation, I thought I'd point you to the father of quantum computation, who's Dave Deutsch.
Uh-huh.
And he's written a very interesting book called Fabric of Reality, which really gets at what he's trying to understand, which is, in essence, the theory of everything, but to try to explain things in much simpler terms. So he boils everything down to 4 principles, which would be computation, quantum mechanics, evolution, and epistemology. So a very fascinating read. I'll admit that I didn't understand the part on time, which is something that I'd like very much to understand, but it was a fascinating read, and it really opens up the whole issue of quantum information, which I think is going to revolutionize the way that we look at the world around us.
You know, I've always found that books on physics and quantum mechanics and now string theory, M theory, all kinds of, you have to read books maybe 25 or 30 times, or 30 of them, before they begin to sink in.
Well, there are certain authors like Bohm who definitely fall into that category for me, where I find that I can spend a week just trying to decipher a few pages, but it's well worth it if you can do it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
1-800-989-8255. Talking about the science books this hour with Josie Iglesias. Josie, are there any up-and-coming writers that you might point out? Any of the books that you've come across, you say, hey, this is a hot new writer we should keep an eye on? Or somebody that would write, you know? Or is it all just boring? Boring the writers. No new writers that we should watch out for.
Let me think about this.
How about David Quammen?
Oh, David Quammen's been writing for a number of years now, but he is also another one of my favorites. He has a new book out, which just came out in September, Monster of God, The Man-Eating Predator in the Jungles of History and the Mind. And this is a marvelous meditation on the role that giant predators have played both in history and in the human imagination. Mm-hmm. We both fear them and revere them, and we've turned them in many ways into deities. And it's also a sort of consideration of what's going to happen when, as he predicts, in the year 2150, there are no more giant predators left on the Earth, what it's going to look like.
Yeah, because we are losing so many of them at an alarming rate.
Unfortunately, humans seem to have a bad habit of exterminating all the wild animals around them.
Are nature books still big? Or, you know, you always say, you know, wondering, you know, we've had these for years. We have, you know, animal books here, you know, eco traveling, that kind of thing.
They seem to be popular. Yeah. I mean, I get hundreds and hundreds of books sent in to me at Discover magazine all the time. And, mm-hmm. Well, as Ecclesiastes said, of the making of books, there is no end.
That's true. Let's see if I got Ryan this time. Hi, Ryan, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Hi.
Got you. Yeah, I just wanted to suggest Da Vinci Code. I know.
As a science book.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, the thing is that, like, it's actually a fiction book, but it's based a lot about a lot of factual information are woven in through the plotline as facts. So, excellent book. Wonder if either of you heard of it or read it.
Have you heard of the Da Vinci Code as a science book? What do you think?
I have to confess I haven't read it.
Well, it's an excellent book. I just wanted to suggest that, and hopefully maybe some people will read it. Very good. Interesting. Dan Brown is the author.
Yeah. Have you read the other books that Dan Brown has written?
No, I haven't.
Because if you like the Da Vinci Code, the book he wrote even before that one, I think, is even better.
Yeah, Angels and Demons. Yeah, my cousin was telling me about that. I haven't read that yet.
No, okay. All right, good luck to you, because I agree. I agree that I think there is some sort of connection. I think people who like science will like the intrigue that's in the Da Vinci Code, although it's not a pure science book. 1-800-989-825. What else is at the top of your list? Give us another top of your list Now, give us another top of your list book.
Well, as I mentioned, Extraordinary Pigeons. This is actually a book of photographs of pigeons as you've never seen them before. The photographer, Stephen Green Armitage, went around, as far as I can tell, photographing show pigeons, and they really are quite extraordinary. There are pigeons with what seems like little booties. There are pigeons with all kinds of amazing crests on their heads, and not just show pigeons, but pigeons found in the wild, like one whose name I really love is the Wonga Wonga pigeon, which is found in Australia, the Mindanao bleeding heart dove. And these are really quite extraordinary pictures, and also contains some surprising facts about pigeons that you may not be aware of. For example, the Egyptians domesticated pigeons in 2,500 years ago.
Did they have pigeon coops on the roof like they do here in New York?
I couldn't tell you. A pigeon brought the news of Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo to the Rothschild Bank in London.
Did it survive?
I don't know. The Rothschilds survived,
yes,
and very well.
Mm-hmm. I know science books for kids didn't make your list, but are there any you'd recommend to parents in the audience?
Yes, I would, actually. One of the books that we're reviewing in our February issue of Discover is a marvelous book called Darwin and Evolution for Kids, His Life and Ideas with 21 Activities. And I think this is sort of pretty appropriate at this time. Well, it's always appropriate because the arguments over evolution seem to be never-ending. And this book lays out in very plain language and quite lively detail just what it was that Darwin did and how he came up with his ideas about evolution. Takes you on the voyage of the Beagle around the world for 5 years and then relates basically how he spent 20 years sitting on his ideas before he published On the Origin of Species. And it contains some marvelous activities.
What age group would you guess?
Well, really any age group. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anyone who wants a basic introduction to Darwin and his ideas, this book's very useful. I'm not sure that people realize how much time Darwin spent refining his ideas and experimenting and collecting evidence. And this book really lays it out really well. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it has some marvelous activities, one of which we tried in the office. We built our own geological strata out of food items, got entirely covered in cocoa.
You can go right to the dump out here and dig down and get your own. I understand you have your own book coming out soon.
Yes, I do. It's going to be published by Chronicle Books in June of 2004, Buzz, The Intimate Bond Between Humans and Insects. It's a collaboration between myself and a German photographer, Volker Steger. And it's basically about every way in which insects interact with you in your everyday life.
Whether you know it or not.
Most people don't want to know. But they should know.
I think about cockroaches.
Well, cockroaches, but mosquitoes. Insects impact on our lives in ways that people really don't appreciate. I mean, insects pollinate 80% of all food crops. Without insects, we would have much diminished food supply. They decompose all kinds of matter. Without insects, we would be buried up to our necks. Well, we'd be buried completely in dead and decaying matter. We'd also be suffering fewer diseases, but insects also play an important role in curing diseases.
Very interesting. And this is going to be coming out in...
Its official publication date is June of 2004.
All right.
It'll be in bookstores in May.
Maybe we'll have you back when it's out. Hang on, we're going to take a short break and come back and talk lots more about gifts, so stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flato. We're talking this hour about holiday gifts and starting off with books, and we'll continue talking about books. What books did you recommend? Our number 1-800-989-8255. Let's see if we can go to the phones, take a call or two. Let's go to John in Havana, Florida. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
Pretty good. I got roped into a biography which I normally don't read a lot of, but James Gleick's book on Isaac Newton is absolutely fascinating.
Oh, the Newton book.
Yes.
Give us a little capsule review of it.
Well, it's not a science book as such. it looks into, this was an incredibly complex personality, and this I had not known. He virtually reinvented all of algebra and geometry himself because he couldn't get a hold of the textbooks. He doubted the parts of the Bible, so he taught himself to read the original languages and translated the Bible and came to some conclusions that kind of upset his university before he was done.
Interesting. And you recommend it for people of all ages?
Pretty much. It might be a little dull for some of the little kids, but I think anybody from high school up would thoroughly enjoy that book.
Okay, thanks for calling, 1-800-989-8255. We're going to try to bring in David Pogue, who is stuck on the highways in New York, actually in Connecticut, right, David?
That's absolutely right. Beautiful, snowy Connecticut.
You must be on the Merritt Parkway somewhere.
Exactly, right at exit 43.
I know it very well. David writes the state-of-the-art column for the New York Times, and he's also, I didn't realize what a fabled history you had as a musician, a Broadway musician and composer.
Yeah, it's a logical progression, isn't it? Composer and conductor to tech gadget reviewer.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you, David, give us your top pick for a gadget this season.
Well, it's kind of tough to give gadgets to gadget freaks, of course, because if you're not one, you don't know what they love. So I've tried to think of things that no matter what gear they already have, they'll really appreciate. So, starting from the low end, rechargeable nickel metal hydride batteries that come in double A's and triple A sizes have been around for a while. But Rayovac now has a charger that will charge them up in 15 minutes, which is a far cry from the 2 hours of before. So for digital camera owners, that's a big deal.
All right, what would be number two on your list?
Well, still in the cheap category, I was turned on to these self-retracting cables. USB cable, FireWire cable, Ethernet cable from Keyspan. They're called ZipLink with a Q, maybe $20 or less for the different kinds of cables. And they're great because you toss them into your laptop case, and then you're equipped. When you get to the hotel room, you need a telephone wire, you've got one.
Wow. Also joining us now is Suzanne Kantor-Kirshner. She's the technology editor for Popular Science magazine and co-editor of the magazine's Best of What's New Awards. She's with us here in New York. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
You heard what David was saying, perhaps, about his best. What is your top 100 tech awards? What's the top one that you would recognize?
Well, I don't know if you would call it the most earth-shattering innovation, but one of my favorites is the Bushnell Instant Replay binoculars, because if you're a fan of watching birds or sports, you're into the moment, and when you see that moment you want to capture, it's already gone. And these buffer the video, so you hit the capture button after the moment has happened.
So you're watching something in your binoculars.
Yes.
And you say, oh, I wish I had captured that. And if you hit the button, it's there.
Yeah.
You had captured it without even trying.
Exactly.
Well, so it's instant replay on the binoculars.
You don't have to anticipate what's going to happen. You can capture it after it has already happened.
Wow. And can you download it to your PC or something?
Of course. And then you can share it with your friends and family over the internet. So
that's a real geeky gadget.
Oh, totally.
Totally. And how many minutes can you capture on this?
It's a 30-second buffer, so you're not talking about a long clip. But, you catch that winning touchdown, that slide into home plate. Doesn't take that long.
Will you lose it if you don't download it? If you press it the next time it's gone and the newer scene shows up?
No, it'll save a number of clips, and then you can download them later.
Wow, David, that sounds like something you would like.
Yeah, I'll give you my address if you give one to me.
I noticed something. You wrote a column on your own private website, davidpogue.com, about your experience in a cafe. And tell us, because that was really geeky and wonderful.
This was mind-blowing. I was in London speaking at a conference, and I was asking, is there an internet cafe around here with wireless internet? And a young British guy said, yeah, I'll take you there. And while we're sitting there checking our email, he pulls out his Apple EyeSight video camera. It's a $150 cylindrical aluminum tube. It looks like a silver Hostess Ho-Ho, and it snaps onto any Macintosh with a G4 chip or faster and does full screen, television quality video chatting. So the bottom line is he had one in his backpack, and within 5 minutes I was having a video chat 3,500 miles across the Atlantic to my wife and children back home in Connecticut. Totally spontaneous, totally amazing, made me glad to be alive, glad to be a Mac user. And I was over my homesickness in about 10 seconds, and I was parading through the coffee shop showing my wife what England looks like. You know, it was just amazing.
That's when the technology works right. I mean,
yeah, you got it.
Wow. Suzanne, you got anything that you could match that kind of joyous, geeky experience?
Well, I also had a webcam on my list of items, the mm-hmm. Logitech QuickCam Orbit. And the cool trick that this does is it follows your movement. So if you're one of those people who can't sit still when you're sitting in front of the computer, it will actually track you from side to side and up and down. So you can be as much yourself as you want to and not lose yourself in the frame.
You mean the camera follows your head movement?
It does. It has face recognition built into it, so it can actually track you.
It's almost scary.
It's very scary. And it looks like this weird alien because it's on the stock with this little eyeball on the top.
Well, there of all the gadgets, we hear that now that these stores have been open for a while, of all the gadgets selling, we hear that cell phones are really big. And then now they're coming with cameras on them. Or what are the kind of techie stuff, Suzanne, can we look for in these things?
Well, I am the true geek. I love a PDA, and I had one of the first Palms. So my favorite item is the Samsung SPH i500 because it is a sweet cell phone. Plus, it has the Palm OS built into it, so you're not losing anything by, you know, getting a big bulky cell phone so you can accommodate the PDA. On the other hand, it has a beautiful, crisp display on it so you can use all of your Palm applications. So it's really the best of both worlds.
Sorry. By the way, Ira, I would mention, too, that giving cell phones as gifts is always a little tricky because if you ask me, what you should shop for is not a phone. You should shop for a carrier, the company, whose life your life is going to be made miserable by their billing system and by the dropped connections, by their coverage, and so on. So just be really, really careful if you're going to give a phone or if you're going to buy a phone for yourself to get one that'll work where you are. So my favorite PDA phone is the Trio 600, very similar to the one we just talked about, but it's available from three different companies, AT&T, Singular, and Sprint. So just be really cautious that you don't buy a phone that, in fact, has no coverage where you live.
Let me mention a product that you both told me. The only product, believe it or not, that both of you agreed on that was one on your top 10 lists, and that's the Pioneer DVD Recorder TiVo machine, the burner. David, you want to begin saying why that's a must-have item?
It's awesome. I mean, everybody knows that the TiVo is the single best high-tech gadget ever made. I mean, that goes without saying. So imagine that, a digital video recorder that records all your shows. You don't know or care what time they came on or what channel. You just choose from a list the shows you want, and it gets them every week without fail, saving them to a hard drive. The only drag is the hard drive eventually fills up, right? So you got to watch them or watch out. So what this does, this Pioneer adds a DVD burner. So now when the hard drive begins to fill up, you can just copy the shows off onto blank DVDs at spectacular quality. And what makes this device so fantastic is, unlike other DVD recorders, you don't have to type in the name of each show you're recording using a remote control that, by the way, has no alphabet keyboard, which is the way most of them work. Instead, the TiVo already knows the name of the show, the description, the stars, the rating. And that's all stored right onto the DVD along with the programming.
Wow. Suzanne, you agree that's
I think it's
a
must-have. Though I have to say, I do like the replay units as well. They have yet to come out with a DVD burner combo. So, you know, that might be something to look forward to. Some people don't like to have shows recommended to them. They, you know, they don't like, you know, the fact that they think that they might like a program that they actually intensely dislike. So there are some people who don't like TiVo. I happen to be a huge TiVo fan myself, too. One other thing to look for in the future, of course, is going to be being able to transfer your own home movies, which, of course, this unit doesn't. But I have nothing but great things to say.
Actually, it does, though. It has input for your camcorder, So it's great for your old home movies, your old tapes that are now deteriorating in the closet.
Well, let me ask this question. If you're getting a digital signal over your TiVo from your digital cable channel, and it's going to be recorded as digital in pristine form, aren't the movie people going to be very unhappy with this, that you can burn a digital pristine copy now, David?
They would be very upset, except that we've already established legally that you're allowed to record for your own purposes anything that's broadcast off the air. You cannot use this device to duplicate DVDs, for example, and you cannot use this device to record shows that are broadcast with a protected flag. Mercifully, there are none of those yet, but Congress has just passed some protocols by which broadcast shows will soon be broadcast with a little flag that says you can't copy me. So all these recorders will have to worry about that.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking about high-tech gadgets and gifts for the holidays. And while I don't like to, pour cold water on high-tech ideas, I want to just throw in one low-tech toy that I saw that's great. It's called Design Science Toys Strange Attractors. Now, these are like little magnetic rods with little magnets on the ends, and you can make all kinds of shapes and things, every kind of three-dimensional geometric shape. It's called a magnetic construction toy for kids, for adults, for scientists, and it's a low-tech, no batteries required here, and it's just a whole lot of fun to play with. So if you're looking for something that still uses your imagination, like a Nouveau Tinker toy set, this is really great.
But where do you plug it in? What kind of memory cards does it take?
That's right. The memory cards above your ears, I think, is where this memory card is. Suzanne, you had a really interesting suggestion for a drying center, the Maytag Neptune Drying Center.
This is really a wonderful item for women. I hate to stereotype, but the idea of a man buying something that needs to dry flat. You know, I don't know of any man who, you know, dries flat any of his garments. So, this is great for that purpose, for people who have delicates.
Is it? It's a dryer, like you put it in your, next to the washing machine?
You put it next to the washing machine. It has a full dryer underneath, yeah. But up top it has a drying rack. So in addition to your delicates, it can also refresh clothes. So if you've been out at the bar overnight and your jacket smells like cigar smoke, you can hang it in there and you can refresh it overnight. So then you don't have to take this garment then to the dry cleaner. So it has two different purposes.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-989-8255. To Brent from Portland, Oregon. Hi, Brent.
Hey, how you guys doing?
How are you?
Great. I was calling about the Radio Your Way. I just picked one up. I saw it in the catalog, and my wife actually got it for me for an early Christmas present.
Describe what is it, for those of us who don't know what it is.
It's a it's like an MP3 player, and it has a disc in it that you can record directly off the radio. So you program it 7 days a week. You can get 10 pre-programmed recording times. And I have it set up to record a late-night show that I like to listen to, but I always fall asleep. And then you can replay it. I'm actually listening to it on and off at work.
So if you could set it to Science Friday, every Friday, and it'll record
exactly.
It, and you don't have to even be there to listen.
You just have to make sure that you have batteries, or I'd recommend getting an AC adapter.
Wow.
It'll record.
A TiVo for radio.
Yeah, it is, exactly. It's a little more, it's not as easy, you can't just punch in the name. But then they have two models, one 32 megs and one 128 megs. And you can get 4 hours of radio or like 2 hours of MP3 songs.
Wow.
And you can download it.
Wow, Brent, thanks that's something I'm running out to get.
I'm thinking about getting another one.
Thanks for calling.
You bet.
1-800-989-8255, we're talking about high-tech gadgets this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday. David, is that something on your list, one of those kinds of radios?
I didn't know it existed. That's really awesome.
We stumped a geek. That's it. The gadget guru got stumped. Yeah,
those relatives who are listening, you know what to do.
I have to admit,
Suzanne?
Having played with it, you really need to dedicate yourself to be able to set it up for the programming. It does a decent job recording the quality, but you definitely need to be a geek to be able to get it to work.
It's
not intuitive.
It's that hard. Well, that's the first generation, then. We have to wait.
Exactly.
That's a 1.0 version of it.
Exactly.
And there are a couple of models, I understand. There's another model that we were looking at. Name escapes me. But it's good because we in the radio business would like to be able to do that sort of thing.
Well,
I think
Sony
it's
actually makes... Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Sony also makes a sort of DVD... a CD playing boombox that also has a hard drive inside, and it's meant to store all kinds of MP3 files and so on, but it too is a sort of TiVo for radio. It can also record stuff off the air and play it back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Suzanne, give us another list from your top 100 in Popular Science?
Well, this is another lower cost item, the Z View, and this is really geared towards kids. It's going to have you can buy programming on it. It's little video snippets. The actual device is handheld. It's about palm size with a 2.5-inch screen, and the quality is surprisingly good. It's a color display, and then next year they're going to be releasing a software patch that will enable you to download your own videos onto it. So this is a nice low-cost option for somebody who likes to bring video on the road.
David, I know that you're an iPod guy. Anything great to enhance an iPod this season?
Oh, man, 'tis the season for iPod accessories. First of all, if you know somebody and you love them enough to spend $300 on them, an iPod itself is, of course, the world's greatest gift. And now you can get the shiny chrome back of it laser etched for free with a message of your choice, like, if found, return to. But there's some great gadgets that you can add on to it. Belkin makes an FM transmitter for $30 that you snap onto the iPod, and then it'll play through your car radio instead of headphones. They make a voice recorder, a little microphone, for $50 that snaps onto the iPod and lets you record up to, 15 years of voice recording. And then they make a media reader for $100 that's really clever. It's for digital camera nuts. You're out on the road taking pictures, and your memory card has filled up. Well, now you can pop the memory card out of the camera, stick it into this thing, and offload those pictures to the iPod hard drive, and then stick it empty back into the camera and carry on.
We're waiting for them to make a broadcast-quality recorder for a high-quality microphone that we can stick in there for all we broadcast geeks. So if you have any connections at iPod, tell them to get working on this because it's the absolute perfect road machine. iPod's very popular, right?
It is very popular. One thing that I do want to warn you is the battery life. The battery doesn't last that long, and then you have to get it serviced. Battery only lasts about 18 months on average, so if you're going to be plunking down $400, just keep it in the back of your mind.
Or buy the service agreement that comes
right.
with it.
That
and
is probably
get
a good idea.
That service agreement would be the price of the battery.
Exactly.
And you get replaced all over and over again. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we come back. We're going to talk lots more with Suzanne DeCantor-Kirshner and David Pogue. Get maybe some of your comments, we hope, about what you think some great geeky gadget gifts should be for this season. So stay with us. We'll be right back.